Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is February 22nd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Definitely, we were just talking right before we started recording about how just how we've got people on the call that hop on here every morning, kind of from coast to coast. We've got California and New York and Florida and Alabama represented tonight. In Michigan here, of course, way up further than me in Michigan even. And I just want to take a moment as we're doing that just to say how much I appreciate that you guys put this on your calendar and you find it valuable enough to come here every Thursday morning. It really means a ton to me. And I really appreciate it. So, as always, any suggestions you have for topics are appreciated. In fact, today's topic was one we've done before, but one that was requested that we revisit because it's actually been a couple of years since we've talked about it, a few years. So, and I think there's some new people on the call. But before we get to that, I wanted to welcome everybody to come stop by our booth. If you're going to be in Orlando in 2 weeks, WQA convention is early this year, really early. But our booth is 11:45, and I'd love to say hello to you, swing by, say hello, and I hope that you guys are able to make it down there. It's an amazing opportunity to go. So. And then we are registering classes as always. I just scheduled classes for the next couple months. So if you are considering sending anybody in for, either installer training or sales training, at the facility, then please let us know, take a look at the website, look at the calendar, and if you have any questions, of course, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. So, all right, with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have?
Hey, Kelly. Scott in Alabama.
Scott in Alabama. What's going on?
Time to time you'll get a call from a customer, and, you know, it doesn't feel soft, or it doesn't feel the way it's supposed to. You go out there and test soft on the cold water side and a little bit of hardness from the hard water side. But you bring your soap that you bring out with, you got the slick feeling, and going down the rabbit hole, and you have to be careful. That's the reason I'm asking you guys. I came across an article that said different soaps interact differently with salt water. And so in y'all's experience, have y'all come across where a customer is using a different type of soap and that soap gives a different feeling, or should all soap and detergents give a slick feeling when there is true salt water on the hot water and cold water side?
Anybody want to tackle that one?
I can kind of tackle that a little bit. So just because I have most of my soaps that I use are all natural. I don't get sometimes I'll make my own soaps where with essential oils and so on. So most soaps are going to already have that chemical softener in there. So, yes, they do react differently. You're going to get that slippery feeling. But sometimes if you're using some of the all-natural, you're still not going to get that slippery, silky feeling. You're not going to get that silky feeling. So soaps will react differently. But if you're still getting a little bit of hardness through the hot water tank, something I would consider is possibly if they went a bit without a water softener, that maybe there's a buildup in the bottom of their hot water tank and it needs to be flushed. Or I've always used the hot water tank as kind of a history. And, you know, maybe they're getting some sort of bleed through when you went out there. Maybe the softener happened to, regenerate the night before or something like that. But they may be getting some sort of a bleed through. And if that's the case, there may be something else in their water that's attaching itself to those resin beads. So those resin beads don't have as much capacity on them because something else is grabbing on there. When we usually size the equipment, we size it to hardness and iron. But if there's something else in there that's taking up that space on those resin beads, then we're not cleaning often enough. So sometimes getting a larger water analysis helps.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your input, Jennifer.
Could I add something to that, Kelly?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, Paul. Yeah, another possibility is simply that when the softener is recharging at night, somebody gets up and uses the water, whether it's to go to the bathroom or something else, and so they draw some hard water into the main plumbing line. And then depending upon what happens following that, some of that hard water could end up in the water heater and just get diluted. And that result would be a little bit of hardness showing up.
Okay.
I think to Jen's point too, you know, soaps are designed, 85% of the homes in America have hard water according to the U.S. Geological Survey, right? And we all know that stat. And so anybody who makes anything to work in soap, mostly they make it or to work in water, they make it to work in hard water. And that includes the soap manufacturer. So I would, I'm by no means a soap expert. I think it would be awesome, by the way, to find a soap expert and have them on as a guest on this call. That would be a really cool call. So if anybody knows anybody who is an expert in soap, please have them reach out to me because that would be really cool. But it does make sense that different soaps would have different levels of those chemical softeners in them and might have an impact on the way the skin feels differently. And as far as the hot water tank, I feel, I think everybody's correct on that, but you can certainly introduce that in there. So the short answer, Scott, is I would say, yeah, my best educated guess along with the other people we heard from is that yes, soaps could have an impact on that.
All right. Thanks for y'all's input.
Yeah. Scott, when we're talking about not only the body soaps, but the dish detergents, the ones that you see that will say, chemical free or all natural, even though a lot of them at the store aren't all natural, but like Myers is one of them that doesn't seem to suds up as much. And that I think it's called Myers. That's one that doesn't seem to suds up as much. Or if you get into like Young Living, they're all natural. And I can tell you that I've used the Young Living for quite a while, and I do get a little bummed that it doesn't make the suds that I like to have. But that's just my choice to use. So.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else? Any other questions before we jump into our topic here? So a short 26 years ago, when I first came into the industry, I went down to the manufacturer that I worked with, had a sales academy at their facility. It was a week-long class where we went in, and I was pretty hungry for knowledge about the industry. I mean, I came in, I was drinking the Kool-Aid about that manufacturer big time, just rah, 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 we're the best, everybody else sucks. If you don't buy this one, then you're stupid type stuff. And I was completely 100% on board with that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that for manufacturers, by the way. I think you have to have brand loyalty, and believe that your product or your company or your service is better than anybody else's. So I feel, and I think they all have their merits, and so they're all worthy of believing that, especially if you've got a company with the service to back it up and those sorts of things. So I don't want to sound degrading to anybody who feels that about their product or manufacturer, but I was 100% on board and went down and just hungry for the sales and just notebooks and writing down everything and trying to learn everything, just to suck in every piece of knowledge I could gain. And so I went down to the sales academy at the manufacturer, and they had a big section on creating business, on how to create leads. And, of course, I was brand new at any of this stuff. And there were there were conversations. I mean, there were bottle drops, and you know, there's a whole segment on how to do bottle drops, which somebody asked me the other day if I've ever known anybody that's had success with bottle drops, and I know there's people out there that did them. I've never met anybody that had that found it cost effective, and I used to try it. I used to do it until I got somebody peed in a bottle and returned it back to us, and that turned me off from it. And you know, it's like I can't ever. I don't know. For each to their own. I never found, especially with the cost of gas and everything else these days, I just don't find it to be the most effective means of creating business. And then there was how to go door to door. There was door knocking. There was all that stuff. And none of that stuff really appealed to me a lot. It didn't really speak to me that much, you know. So, but the one idea that did, that I thought was really super cool, was this thing called water clinics. And basically the concept was you set up a canopy somewhere with a table and a banner that says free water testing, and you just put it there on a busy intersection or somewhere where there's a lot of traffic, and people will bring water samples to you. And I loved that idea. I thought, what a cool idea. I mean, you know, what else are you doing even if you only have a few people that come? So during the break, I went up and I asked the instructor, tell me more about this water clinic idea. This is a really super cool idea. Tell me more about it. And he, I said, you know, did you do it at your company? And he said, well, I never did it, but I do know this one dealership that did. And so I got the contact information for that dealership, and I called them and said, tell me about these water clinics. How did it work for you guys? They, oh, we tried it a couple times, but it never really did anything, so we haven't done them in years. And so I thought, man, this is okay. So it's kind of the same thing. All these people, they have this great idea, but nobody could tell me how to do it right. So it was a little frustrating to me, you know, just because I love the idea of people bringing water to me. It was almost like a retail type thing, right? I mean, that's where, you know, other people, if they come to you with water samples and say, hey, test my water, it means that they have some concerns with the water, and what better person to talk to, right? So anyway, my point with all of that is I love the idea, and I asked a bunch of people how to do it the right way, and nobody seemed to know, so I sort of made it up myself. And so if you guys are listening to this, please understand that I took an idea, this concept, and I added some stuff to it. It may not be the best way of doing it. There might be better ways of doing these out there, but I can tell you that we have done them multiple times. Jen, you know, even when you were back with in sales, when we would do them, and certainly when you were here with Motor Vitality and we worked with dealers, you know, we would set these things up. Some of them, we've had the success rate that we've had with them. There was one that we did when they first lowered the arsenic standard way back in 2003 is when we did this, and when it became official. And we made a banner that said free arsenic testing. And there was one Saturday morning from we did it from 9 to 1, and we had actually it was 10 to 2, I think we did it, 10 to 2, and for 4 hours. And we had well over 100 people come to our booth. And we're sitting right out in the grass area of a little strip plaza next to a busy road. And the cost of that was a banner, a canopy, a table, and time. And we ended up selling well over, I think I had to go back and look, but 15 or 16 units out of that day. Not always, you know, some of them were reverse osmosis systems, but other equipment as well, because we would get in to the home and have an opportunity to test the home. So that, you know, that was probably the most successful. That being said, we've done water clinics where we've set them up. There was one that we worked with the client in Pennsylvania on a Saturday, also 10 to 2, and it rained all day. And for 4 hours, we didn't have a single person bring us a water sample. We just sat underneath the canopy, freezing to death, taking turns going to the gas station to get coffee and testing rainwater and looking, you know, doing different experiments with the rain dripping off the canopy. So it's not that they're always successful. But we've had more, most commonly when we've done them, setting them up in various ways, we've had 10 to 15 people in a four-hour period that come, and generally there are at least one or two sales that are generated from that. So before I start and kind of tell you how I've done it, has anybody else on this call had experience with water clinics? Have you done water clinics? Have you heard of them? You know, what are your thoughts about water clinics? Or is this a brand new concept to you? Are you sitting there with open ears going, what? People come to you with water? Tell me, what has anybody had success with these at all?
This is Elaine. We've done them through Home Depot. They call them Super Saturdays. In fact, we're doing one tomorrow. And we don't have a sales rep there. We just pretty much have appointment setters. And so people can drop off their water ahead of time because the store will kind of advertise it. So it's mixed in terms of how successful it is. I'm very hopeful for tomorrow because we haven't done any for a while. So if you have the right people, it works well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I guess, you know, since I came into the industry, the whole new, you know, a lot of the manufacturers, you know, the Costco's and the Home Depot's and the Lowe's, that's brand new. I mean, not brand new, it's been around now for a long time, but when I first came into the industry, there were no relationships like that with any of those major stores. None of the manufacturers had relationships with them. So, but you're right. That is sort of a water clinic concept. Absolutely. Somebody else had something to add?
Yeah. I'm sure you're going to get into the advertising and everything else, but I think it's also important that you do them often because, you know, your first one's going to be, you know, nice, but there are going to be a lot of people that are going to see it and say, oh, gosh, I didn't know that was going on. I don't have time to run back and get water. You know, so they might not even stop by. But I know that there's a couple of sales pros I've talked to that they've gone to, like, the farmer's market, and they set up every other week at the farmer's market or in the summertime, and they'll do water clinics there. And then that way, like, the regulars know to come and bring water, or they'll, you know, they know, hey, that person's going to be at the farmer's market, so we'll go ahead and, you know, ask water questions while we're there. So that's another idea.
So let me tell you what we did. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
I was just going to add something really quick. I know it's not a water clinic, but my son was in the Boy Scouts, and we had to sell a lot of things for many years. And we were able, with some store's permission, to be out in front of them without having to get in New York. You need to get a permit sometimes when you're just kind of setting up somewhere. So I would just let everyone be aware of that in their own state or town. Also at baseball games, little league baseball games, especially if they're having like a big tournament and there's, you know, tons and tons of parents there. Again, if you have any inroads with something like Jen said, a farmer's market, or that's a good place to, if they have a bulletin that goes out and says, oh, at the next game, you know, if you can get your get a little blurb in there, bring your water and have your water tested. I just wanted to throw some of those out there.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And there are different ways. I think you have to kind of look at what the objective is, right? Is the objective to just build awareness? You know, something at a baseball game, most people probably aren't bringing water samples with them to a baseball game, but it's a booth, and they're there, and you're talking. That almost becomes more like a home show type thing, you know, where you're not necessarily selling anything there, but you're talking to people, and, you know, they're in between games. And I think that's a great idea to see if you can set something up like that. The others are very similar to the ones that we've had success in. So I wanted to tell you, I mean, we've only got about 10 minutes left here, so I wanted to share with you the ingredients that I used to put together the most successful water clinics that we did, and then how we went about making them the most successful. Okay, so first and foremost, you have to find a location, and there are lots of different options. You guys pointed out some there. Michelle, your suggestion of like a baseball game or a store sitting out front, where I consistently had my best luck was in this way out in the boonies. When I was in sales, there was a little convenience store, and actually it's interesting because there was a baseball field next to it, and I did this usually only one Saturday a month. I did it usually on the first Saturday of every month. I went and set up a water clinic, or set up a canopy, and offered free water testing. And it was on a busy road, and it was way out in the boonies, and everybody out there had rural water, and they were all bring me samples. And a lot of times it would be, I just wanted to check and see if my system's working, or can you tell me what I have in here? You know, they would bring it, but they came to expect it. And I had a great relationship with that, with the owner of the convenience store. And we've talked about that in the past, and we probably wouldn't hurt to talk about that one again, you know, how to build the relationships with those types of privately owned businesses. But it basically creates another storefront for you without you having to have a storefront, you know, to have a place where they'll advertise for you out in the area and kind of sell filters and stuff like that. But I had a great relationship with this store called Countryway, and I would set up out there, and that one was pretty consistent. Consistently, I would have four or five people bring me water or stop and ask me about something. I never sold anything at those shows, at the water clinics. It was never about selling anything at that show. It was about helping the community. It was about offering them something of value. But then it was about getting in their home so that I could, you know, test their water and do a plumbing assessment and talk to them about what options they might have there. Looking at the ones where we weren't doing them over and over, the repeat business, we would find, like I said, the one that we had over 120 people there, that one, God, it just so happened. I mean, that was a fluke success. It just so happened. We'd been planning it for two or three weeks, and the week before we did it, the weekend before, it was all over the news that the standards were coming, that they were lowering the standards for arsenic, and we had already had the arsenic banner made up, you know, free arsenic testing. That one was awesome. We had a banner, you know, free arsenic testing here, and it was great because that test takes, I've got pictures in my book of this where people are standing in line waiting to get their water tested because they were just flowing them. It was a long line. That test takes 12 minutes to complete. And so what was great is people would come, you'd set up the arsenic test, set it aside, and then, set up the next one and the next one. And each time, while people were standing by waiting, it was great because when they didn't have arsenic in the water, we would say, I feel pretty confident in these tests. It doesn't show you have any here. And that added a lot of credibility when you did run into somebody that had arsenic that showed up positive. Now, the way we always did that is, look, this is a visual test. If this shows you have arsenic, I would recommend going to an independent lab. And we had the phone number and some cards for the local lab that we recommended. I'd recommend going to an independent lab or over to the township and have them test it to verify those results through a laboratory test. You know, these are just visual tests. And it really, because it was a health-related issue, we didn't want to make that a scare tactic thing. But we were, I mean, that one was highly successful. The ingredients, what do you need? Well, let me finish talking about location. You got to find, if you're going to do like a gas station corner or a strip plaza of any type, it's best to find the ones that are privately owned, because a lot of times if you have the corporate ones, you know, you got to go through insurance and all of that. If you can find a locally owned hardware store, those are great to be able to do that, to do the water clinics. A privately owned or a locally owned appliance store is really good that you can build a relationship with. And don't just go in there and expect that you're going to ask them one time to do it. You've got to build a relationship with them and get, you know, and find those farmers markets. But also the farm and fleet stores are great stores because they're rural community, right? The customers are all rural. They're people that live out in the boonies, you know. So find that that local farm and fleet store and do that. And the reason I wanted to do this call, this topic today, by the way, is because Memorial Day is coming up, and all of these places are going to have big Memorial Day sales. And now is the time to start planning to work in conjunction with them, to get out there and, you know, or not all of them, but a lot of them will have these Memorial Day sales. Go out there and ask if you can be part of that, you know, especially when they're water-related stuff. I mean, they're going to have all these, the appliance stores are all going to have Memorial Day sales. And you know, the farm and fleets are going to have their grand spring openings. And the you know, they're going to have these big events over those weekends coming up, and see if you can be part of that. So what did it cost? It cost the canopy. Everybody's seen those 10x10 canopies that you can buy anywhere these days. They're, you know, $100 for a good one. It costs you a 6-foot table. You'll want to print some flyers that just, you know, on colored paper and hand them out. If you're in a strip plaza, ask them if they'll put them on their doors or put them out on their shelves. One of the successful ones that we did in Minnesota with a client, Northern Minnesota, we were at a grocery store, and we set up in their grocery store parking lot, and all week long they put this flyer in everybody's grocery bags. When they were bagging the groceries, they put a flyer in their bag all week long. So we had, I think, 15 or 20 people come during that 4 hours, you know, that they were there. So, and I think we did a giveaway, you know, a drawing for anybody that came. We did a $100 grocery store, you know, gift card for them. So we did, you know, you can do some things like that, some joint venture things like that. I mean, you could do it in front of a hair salon, you know, where you give a free, you know, give a gift certificate to the hair salon or something like that if you have to. So that might be a cost associated with it. And then some note, so, you know, obviously you have to have your test kit and some paper to write down information on, you know, to maybe some results, you know, the water analysis results sheets that you can put that on and give to a customer and hand to a customer. But be prepared to ask questions. It's not about trying to sell equipment when you're doing these things. It's about, you really, look, it's the sales philosophy that I always talk about, give more than you take. When you are looking to design these things and people are willing to come to you with questions, okay, or concerns, don't get all excited and say, oh, this person, just because they walked up here, they're going to suddenly buy something from me. That's not the way to approach it. The way to approach it is that you are giving something of value back to them. Okay, you've got to make it where you're doing something to help them, where this is a service that you're offering, not something free. And the other thing I can say, because, you know, we're out of time almost to go through a lot of this, a lot of detail on this. So if anybody really wants more detail, please reach out to me. There is a whole chapter in my book where I talk about water clinics a little bit. And we've got some on the website, motorvitality.com. I've got an hour presentation where I show some pictures and talk about this a little bit in more detail. But if the first one you do does not have a lot of success, then don't give up on it. I'm telling you, I'm well over 50. I bet you I've done over 50. And there have probably been 10 of them where I felt like it was a complete waste of time, you know, where it just, you know, we sat there and it just did not, for whatever reason, didn't have the success, either the weather or it was the location was bad or just, you know, as a fluke, people didn't show up. So, but I'm going to say, don't give up on it. Sit back, reevaluate, say, what did we do right on this one? What do we like about it? And what do we need to change if we're going to do it again? You know, what works differently? You know, what would work differently? Don't give up on it, though, because it is, I can tell you, we've had, and here's the other thing, how do you measure success? Well, for me, if I had one person, I mean, it depends on where I'm at in sales, right? So if I have something else on a Saturday morning from 10 to 2 that I can do that will get me in front of more than one qualified person, maybe do that one. right? But if I had one person walk up to me and bring me a sample of their water and give me a chance to talk to their, you know, talk to them about their water and ask them questions, that's a success. Now, that's, I would say, minimally successful. I mean, ideally you'd want, you know, four or five, but even if there's only four or five people come, what else are you doing on a Saturday between 10 and 2 or any other time, evenings, you know, between, you know, 6 and 8 or whatever, or somewhere? What are you doing during that time that is getting you in front of that many qualified people? And if the answer is, oh, there's nothing else I could be doing right now, then I would consider that a success. Any final thoughts on this or questions? Anybody? Okay, like I said, if you want more detailed information on this, the time went by really fast here, so we didn't get to talk about as much in detail as I wanted to. But please visit motivitality.com. You can find that the presentation on there. If anybody has any other detail, needs any other detailed questions, please reach out. But other than that, everybody, thank you very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe. And have a great weekend. Thanks.
Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks.